I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
When Secretary Blinken was recently here in Israel, we had a candid conversation. I said I deeply appreciated the support the U.S. has given Israel from the beginning of the war. But I also said something else. I said it's inconceivable that in the past few months, the administration has been withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel. Israel, America's closest ally, fighting for its life, fighting against Iran and our other common enemies. Secretary Blinken assured me that the administration is working day and night to remove these bottlenecks. I certainly hope that's the case. It should be the case. During World War II, Churchill told the United States, give us the tools, we'll do the job. And I say, give us the tools and we'll finish the job a lot faster.
Obviously they would. Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, again complaining and stating the U.S., despite Joe Biden claiming, oh, we're all with you. We're going to be there for you. You can count on us. They cannot count on us. We were purposely withholding some weapons they said they needed. And you know why? You know why? Because Biden is still trying to appease the woke crowd within his party, those who support what Hamas did. I've yet to hear a single so-called Palestinian supporter in the Congress condemn what Hamas did. Oh, they would shout that Palestine is an issue that needs to be resolved, they need their own state, blah, 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 blah. Have you heard one of them say what Hamas did was atrocious and Hamas should be wiped out for what they did? No, not one. Rashida Tlaib, the rest of the squad, mum's the word. The only good thing about it is that each one of them, as all members of Congress in the House, are up for re-election this time. But unfortunately, they have enough useful idiots around them that will keep them in office for many of them. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. If you miss anything, it goes up as a podcast when we finish at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And I appreciate you watching, adding a like, push that like button. It just infuriates the left the more the likes they see, and it gets the big tech companies say, we better not touch these guys. So push the like button and also push the share button. Send it on to others and share with them. Well, the situation we're getting now, some of the latest word coming out, and according to Wall Street Journal, using some of its sources, out of the 120-plus hostages still being held by Hamas, and this is apparently based on intel that they got by the four they rescued a couple weekends ago, there might be 50 of those hostages they're still holding that are alive. They're just holding the bodies of the others, using dead people to keep them from their relatives for a proper burial, and acting like you still want to do everything you can to pressure Netanyahu to back off. You want your son, you want your daughter back, your mother, your father, and they might already be dead. And it is possible in the attacks upon Gaza, going into the Hamas tunnels, and since they often will hide under baby beds and under hospitals, it's extremely possible that the Israeli forces killed some of the hostages. So when you hear them complain, those who want to proclaim that Hamas and PLO are good and that the Israelis are indiscriminately killing civilians. They may have killed Israeli citizens. They certainly had no plan to do that. But in the meantime, you got the battle on the southern part of Israel, where Gaza is located, dealing with Hamas and trying to root them out. And we talked about this the other day. The action is beginning to step up on the northern part of Israel on the frontier with Lebanon. And that is because Hezbollah is stepping in.
Hezbollah's leader has issued a threat to Israel, saying if a, quote, total war is launched against the terror group, quote, no place in Israel will be safe from the group's weapons. He said the Jewish state must prepare for attacks from the ground, air, and sea, saying Hezbollah will fight with, quote, no rules and no ceiling.
They began to lob missiles and rockets and drones into northern Israel on a regular basis, and they've escalated this in recent weeks. And Israel, and as a result of that, Israelis have been killed, and more than 60,000 Israelis have had to leave their cities, villages, homes. They're in hotels, they're further in the south, they're somewhere else. It's a situation that cannot continue indefinitely. Israel cannot allow Hezbollah to turn the north of Israel, the Galilee, the Golan, into an open no-go zone.
And that's what they're trying to do. The speaker you were hearing was Clifford May. He's the founder of Defense Democracies, Defense of Democracies. And you heard Benjamin Netanyahu, who began this hour, talking about how the U.S. is stepping back and not doing what it said it would do. And as a result of that, you know what the reaction is from the Biden administration? Not just wagging their finger, but absolutely getting incensed where they decide, we will cut off communications with Israel. Here's what happened. The U.S. envoy told Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu after he made those public comments that the U.S. is withholding weapons and ammunition. He said, your statement is unproductive, more importantly, completely untrue. That same meeting, the U.S. ambassador to Israel reiterated to Netanyahu, your comments are not correct, walking through all the arms the U.S. has transferred to Israel in recent months. Spokesman for the U.S. Embassy in Israel confirmed that conversation they had with Netanyahu and reiterated that, quote, with the exception of ongoing discussion regarding large diameter munitions, other items are either delivered or in the process of being delivered or in the normal review process. Now, what does that mean? You're going to decide if they really need the weapons or not? That's not supporting Israel. The large diameter weapons supposedly saying, well, you have something this big, you'll kill a lot of civilians. Israel's maintained that we can actually save more civilians. Now, again, not knowing specifics of the weapons, I can't give you a clear answer, but I'm going to side with Israel simply because of the way the Biden administration has been constantly, and I told you, those of you who listen, on October 8, when Biden made a statement very declarative, we stand with Israel, I said then, you watch over the next days. They are this close together. Day later, 2 days later, 3 days later, it just keeps stretching out. That's exactly what they've been doing, moving farther and farther away. Victor Davis Hanson, very learned man with the Hoover Institute, says all of this that we're seeing right now is carried forward from the Obama administration as to what the Obama administration was trying to put into effect when they were pushing Iran should get nuclear weapons. Although Obama said they will not get one on my watch. He was putting together a deal in his last year as president. Yeah, they were not going to get one on your watch, but you were going to make it possible for them to have it. Victor Davis Hanson.
They cooked up this idea that they were going to empower an Iranian Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthi axis, and this was going to be the Persian Shia counterbalance to Israel and the moderate Gulf regime. So they trashed Saudi Arabia, they trashed Israel, they built up this axis, and they called it creative tension. And then we could vacate the Middle East and then play one side off against the other, completely oblivious that our friends in the Gulf were far better than the Iranians, of course, and Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. But this is the most dangerous time in our lifetime, Sean, all the way until Inauguration Day, because Putin sees he's trying to get nuclear proxies in Iran and North Korea to do what he thinks we're doing in Ukraine.
He's exactly right. It's one of the most dangerous times. And, of course, he was appearing with Sean Hannity. But, again, once Netanyahu spoke out and said, we're not getting what you said you would do, the U.S. reaction from the Biden White House, we will punish him. We will punish him. And, in fact, they decided to make it clear, and I'm quoting one U.S. official, there are consequences for pulling such stunts. Angry that Netanyahu would speak out to save his people. And so they had been planning on having a U.S.-Israel meeting, at least virtually, for today. The White House just said, no, not going to do it. That shows you leadership. The Biden administration's latest efforts, of course, to win votes is to assure you that open borders are not a threat to U.S. security.
We want to make sure that we're securing the border. We want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to do that. And we also want to make sure that we have a fair and just system. And that is something that the president continues to live by.
Yeah, he lives by a fair and just system, which means let more and more illegals into our country. And she would dare stand there and say to the American people, this president's doing everything he can to secure the border. No, he's not. From the moment he got into office, he started by executive order canceling the Remain in Mexico policy Trump had in place. And has ever since said, I don't have executive order to close the border. You had executive order to open it. You got executive order to, and in fact, he did do the other day. He did, by executive order, say we're going to restrict how many come across. If he had done that the first of his administration, we wouldn't have had maybe 12, 15, 20 million illegals come in. And more are coming. There is still no really restriction. They surpass a certain number per day. The border's supposed to be closed. They continue surpassing it, and they're not closing the border. It's another lie, and it's built upon trying to let the American people know, I'm taking care of you. Uncle Joe is here. Superman cape and all. And, of course, then he comes up with the amnesty program the other day for DACA, the Dreamers program. These are young people that were brought here when they were children, brought by their parents. They came in the country illegally. And I've always had a hard time on saying how we deal with this because they had no saying on where they were going to go. And now you're going to deport those kids that have grown up in the U.S. They may not even speak the native language of the country their parents brought them from. And you want to put them back in the middle of that country when they have no contacts, anything. I have a very difficult time accepting that. There are ways I will accept it, that if a DACA, a Dreamer, violates law, then you are immediately deported. Not just jailed, you are deported. But again, on the basis of what the Biden administration is trying to do is push that this general amnesty will be good for our nation. And voters, are you watching me?
How do you respond to Republicans who say this particular move is just an election year stunt.
Look, I'm not here to talk about election year. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the president's policy and why he's doing this, because we have a broken immigration system. The president did this on his first day when he put forth a comprehensive immigration system.
And when it comes to the new executive actions today on immigration, can you just talk us through why now? Why not earlier?
So look, and I said this a little bit, and I'll say it again, which is, and we say this, our immigration system is broken. It has been for some decades. The president wants to have a comprehensive legislative fix. That's the process that we actually want to take, and that's why he did on day one.
No, he didn't. He did not do it on day one. He opened the border. That did not solve our immigration issue. There's a big picture here. There's a big picture as to these who are already in the country. What do we do about them? And they've been here before Biden got here. What are we going to do about them? Well, to that extent, we'll just have to figure it out as we move forward. But at this point, what they have proposed is not going to be effective. They have, at this time, moved forward and stated that now the Biden amnesty program will take care of everything. And it's not an election ploy. It's not an election ploy. I want you to understand, we're not doing it for votes. Well, on one hand, that stands up if these folks, the DACA dreamers, are not registered to vote. But if they've been in the country long enough, and some born here, they do have the right to vote. But then again, they can't square it with mass amnesty for illegals when, as even CBS acknowledges in one report, most Americans are against mass criminal illegal alien deportations anyway.
And yet, Tom, a lot of voters seem to think it's not the smart thing to do. CBS News polling recently found that 62% of Americans are in favor of a national program to deport all undocumented immigrants, all 11 million of them. So how much support do you think there would be for the White House plan that was announced today?
I'd love to sit down with your polling team and show them how they've gotten this wrong.
Yeah, Tom Perez, Biden administrator, top Democrat, strategist. Many Americans are for mass deportation of all illegals. If you're looking at those who've come across during the Biden years, I'm not going to necessarily say no, but I will ask, how are you going to make it happen? How can you do it? And then you move into the DACA program, which he granted this mass amnesty. How are you going to go into families and rip them apart when they were kids, when they were brought here? They had no say in where they were going. You have to be realistic. I do not want illegals in our country. And I believe it endangers our country, much less puts additional strain upon resources intended for Americans. But it's not a matter of just having sympathy that I'm expressing to you. It's a matter of, realistically, how would you do it? I don't think anybody has really come up with a solid answer for that, except my suggestion that might work. If they're here illegally and they commit a crime, their butt is out of here immediately. Now, that I will back each and every day. And, of course, the other thing is, how many have come across the border not looking for a new job and a better home, but they came here to cause chaos, even terrorism, inside our borders, and Biden allowed it. We're going to look at that in more detail. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire has been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
My name is Todd Showalter, and I'm announcing the Right Mind Show is officially running Saturday nights at 5. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Is the Right Mind Show funny at all?
No comment. Next question. Yeah, you, different reporter with the same voice.
Your co-host is very cute.
Not a question. I've got time for one more.
Do you do any impressions on the Right Mind Show?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Joe Biden getting out of bed.
The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Saturday afternoons at 5 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. And I'd be to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw heaven every day. All she could.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are in a period where a number of factors are combining to make a terrorist attack on the homeland far more likely than it perhaps had been. And, you know, you can think of it almost in a criminal context, means, motive, and opportunity, right? In terms of means, the world has gotten a lot smaller even since 9/11. You've gotten drones. The interconnectivity of the internet is more ubiquitous into areas that maybe didn't have that connectivity. You can get an uplink using, for instance, something like, the Elon Musk satellites. You know, you can get online from the mountains of the Hindu Kush. You've got AI capabilities. You've had all that time to develop capabilities since 9/11, if you're still in the business. So I would argue that in terms of means, capabilities have only grown.
The capabilities of the terrorist attacking our nation, and even from within side, have increased. It is as simple as that. It is as threatening as that. It is as dangerous as that simple statement. You were listening then to Paul Morrow, a security expert. And of course, he's in one hand parroting what we've already heard from the FBI, and even the CIA. Michael Morrell and Graham Allison write that there are striking echoes of the run-up to 9/11, including warnings about Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda and by then CIA Director George Tenet. And now similar warnings are popping up from FBI Director Christopher Wray and American General Eric Carrillo, Commander of CENTCOM, which includes the Middle East. I'm looking at this piece by Axios pointing out U.S. facing serious threat of terror attack. That's including an expert, former CIA chief, and more. And all of them are alarmed by these repeated warnings. They also add that despite the repeated warnings from national security officials and the experts, they think most of the public is asleep at the wheel. I would say that this administration is asleep at the wheel. They're just absolutely ignoring what's in front of them. And I'll have to raise this question, this issue. I do not know how Christopher Wray, being in his position as head of the FBI, can testify in front of Congress that we are under a serious potential threat on our U.S. soil and stay in the job. Why he doesn't resign? I would not want to be on the watch when it happens. Wray, if you recall, not long ago, once again testified in front of Congress with a stark warning, talking to the House Appropriations Committee back in April. He said, we need all the tools, the people, the resources required to tackle these threats and keep Americans safe. Now, this came after, of course, October 7th that happened in Israel. And he said, our most immediate concern has been the safety of Americans because we have a concern that individuals or small groups would draw twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East and carry out attacks at home. And, of course, just recently we had some members of ISIS located. They were let into the country. They came across the border. They were checked at the border. They were checked at the border and then didn't have anything on them because they're not fully vetting them. Some cases you can't fully vet them. Their towns, their whatever their birthplace might have been or birth papers have all been destroyed in previous actions. Only later did we learn that they might not just be ISIS members of the past, but active still. And supposedly we rounded up all the ones that came in at that point. But I would not go to sleep at night believing that is true. Let me remind you how they will act out. You recall the event recently at the Crocus City Concert Hall outside of Moscow, killing more than 140? That was ISIS-K attacking inside Russia. Now, I don't know how they got inside Russia, but I know Russia does not have an open border. So if we have an open border, do you not think they would take the opportunity to come here? And back to Paul Morrow, a security expert, the motives are right in front of them.
You only have to look to what's going on in the Middle East right now, wherever your thoughts are, whatever your thoughts are on Gaza, whatever you come down on. Whatever side you come down on, if any, there's no denying that the people who would like to perpetrate a terrorist attack inside the American homeland are going to look at what's going on there and see a motive without question, on top of all the other motives that they very well may have been harboring all along here. And as the article mentions, one of the things that irks the Iranians, who are state funders of terrorism and are the umbrella over a number of the groups that concern us, is the killing of Soleimani and that drone attack. So, you know, when you consider that, when you consider a resurgent Russia that is nuclear capable and that we are increasingly at loggerheads with and all that's going on in that area of the world. It's not hard to see motives all over the place.
They could just dream them up. They just want to kill Americans. That's enough motive. They want to destabilize our government. And, of course, doing it now during the election season, perfect opportunity. The other day I had Dr. Rick Lehman on, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. He's going to be at the Paris Olympics. He said one of the things we're obviously on heightened concern about is anytime you're going to have a big national media attention draw event like the Olympics, you have to worry about terrorism. He said they're doing everything they can in Paris to prepare for it, but no one knows if it's ever going to be enough. And then again, if ISIS or some of these groups think, you know, they've got so much concentration of law enforcement around the games, let's hit something else with would be more vulnerable. If they want to do it, they can in numerous ways. And again, Paul Morrow, who is an expert on security and now a retired New York Police Department inspector, said they will have opportunities.
And then there is opportunity. And I don't have to look any further than the southern border. You know, we've let 10 to 20 million illegals into the country with little or no vetting. It's a canard to think that they're all just from small towns in Mexico or Bolivia or Ecuador or something. We're seeing a wave of migrant-related crime developing now. But you would have to be a fool not to take advantage of the ability to insert assets seamlessly and with no friction into the American homeland through the southern border. You would have to be a fool not to take advantage of that if you're sitting where Iran is, where China is, where Russia is.
They'll take advantage of anything and everything. We have documented hundreds of Chinese military-age men coming across our border. Often at night, they get caught on night scope cameras or sometimes the farmers' game cameras they have set out around their property. They're not even trying to go through the so-called ports of entry where they'll just be given a parole paper, take their name, parole paper. You're free to roam about the country till you have parole hearing and deciding about your asylum. For the next 6 to 8 years, we won't have a hearing before then. What do we have to do to wake up this administration? I raised the question I raised the other day. How many American lives do we have to lose before we realize this has been a bad, bad decision? I don't want harm to come to President Biden or the Vice President, nor any Democrat leader. But they could be among the first targets as well. You think then they'd say, those who survived, that was a stupid idea. Insanely stupid. And Morrow is right, any terrorist leader says, it's easy getting the U.S. Can't get on the fly list, can't fly in, but we can get to Mexico and walk right across. Coming up, a doctor in Congress says, let's not forget what COVID did to America.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you seen the 2024 Toyota RAV4? Boy, that's an outstanding vehicle, and Ackerman Toyota has one just for you at the best price. Ackerman is the number one volume Toyota dealer in the area. Want a Camry? Maybe you want something bigger. A Toyota crossover. All the performance of an SUV, but a more compact size. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to point out that I'm probably the only member of Congress that actually treated patients during the pandemic from the very beginning to the very end of the pandemic during night shifts in the ER. Thousands of patients during that time. In 2020, I was censored. My medical license was threatened because I disagreed with bureaucrats. Literally taken off the internet. As a person who is treating patients with leading edge technologies, developing theories, but doing my very best, but being censored by the United States government for the first time stepping in and taking the place of medical professionals as the experts in healthcare. Any dissent surrounding COVID-19 treatments, mask mandates, and any public policy surrounding the pandemic was immediately labeled as anti-science. Despite my education and my training and my experience, my opinions were relegated to conspiracy and misinformation by so-called healthcare experts who had never treated a patient throughout the entire pandemic. Dr. Fauci, did you ever treat a patient for COVID during the pandemic?
I was part of a team that was at the NIH that took care. We didn't take care of many of them.
Okay, so not hands-on. Got it. But I'm being told by bureaucrats what's right and wrong. And what's funny is everything I was censored on, I was proven to be right. Pretty crazy, isn't it?
Crazy and factual and wrong. That's Dr. Rich McCormick, congressman from Georgia, decorated veteran, emergency room physician, on the panel when Dr. Fauci was in front of it the other day, and they're trying to get to the bottom of the origins of COVID and all the lies that were pushed onto the American people. And were you among those who got censored? Were you among those who were threatened with your job if you didn't get the jab or do exactly as everyone said? Are you one of the ones that when they put the six-foot marks on the floor when you queued up to buy groceries or wherever you were going, finally, you got to stay in that circle until it's your turn to advance forward. And now we're told those circles were just concocted out of thin air. They had no science to them. And yet all the time we were being told, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. And I, Dr. Fake, I am a scientist and I know what I'm speaking of. I wonder how many patients Dr. McCormick, congressman of Georgia, saved because he stuck to what he thought should be done at that time. But we know that many patients, once they went into a hospital, they did not come out. I had a relative, good 15 years younger than me, went in, stayed one night. They sent him home. Everything's good. He collapses in the shower. They take him back. And the second night, they decide to move him to the critical stage area, but yet he wasn't in any intensive care need, but that's where they moved him at that point because he had beds there and they could keep a closer watch on him. But he did not survive that night. The attitude and format at that time, the protocol for the most part was keep them flat on their back. That should help them. If you've ever had any kind of breathing problem and you're flat on your back, you don't breathe that easily. It's tougher. If you're in a somewhat prone position, maybe 45 degrees or 40 anyway, it makes it a little easier for you. But then when they couldn't breathe, well, then the next thing is, well, let's put them on a mask and just start covering their face entirely. That's what they did to him, and he did not survive it. Now, would he have survived if they had not done that to him? I don't know. But now many have recognized that was the worst thing to do, is put folks flat on their back. And don't forget how they were also trying to force families to send their kids in for shots that were still in an experimental stage. Experimental meant that the drug companies couldn't be sued if any harm came to your kid or their offspring. Now, again, in the beginning of COVID, it was a frightening, chaotic time. I will grant a lot of allowances and grace for how things were handled at that point. But we didn't flatten the curve, and in fact, what we did was extend government authority and control. And then you had the social media companies jumping in, as you were listening to Congressman Dr. Rich McCormick, saying, I got canceled off YouTube. They claimed everything I put up was false. And I'm a doctor. I know. No, you really don't, doctor. You're just pushing conspiracy theories. That was their attitude. And we're seeing the same thing happen with our children right now. LGBTQ activists, and I mean the activists, not many inside the LGBTQ community, but these who are trying to put everybody on their way of life or else. I'm reading a piece by Chad Felix Green with The Federalist. He said, in 1998, I was outed as gay. 1998. I was outed as gay to my father by school administrators. Late in the afternoon, I got a call on the intercom to go to the principal's office. My heart sank. I left the class, everybody watching me. And my paranoia was right. He said that day would change my life forever as I sat at the end of a large oval table, school administrators, a police officer, and my father at the other end, listening to them discuss my most private secret only years before. He says, that's why some of those of us who grew up to become LGBT activists and politicians have been adamant about preventing schools from repeating this behavior known as outing. The California State Senator Weiner announced on June 13th, we passed a new law, ethical legislation, to ban forced outing policies and ensure trans youth can decide for themselves. A fellow Democrat who introduced the bill, recounted her experience of being outed. But even the writer of this article says, looking back, the school did the right thing, even if they did it in a clumsy way. He said, at the meeting, I was required to attend counseling, removed from school for a week. He said, but most of the argument comes from the left-wing LGBTQ view, that parents are inherently dangerous to their children. And the school is the only safe place for them to be themselves. His main point is, if you feel that you're no longer a boy, you're a girl, when you get to school, you're going to change your outfit, put on lipstick, and pose as a girl throughout the school day. But at the end of the day, you'll take it all off and go home, and the school won't tell your parents. He said, that's wrong for the administration to take that attitude, keeping information from the parents. And he admits, even though I got called out very in a clumsy way in 1998, he said it still is not to be ignored now. The school should not be keeping such information from parents. You can look it up yourself. The article is on the Federalist. He said, yes, parents should know if their child is gay. Because otherwise, if you think only the school is going to be your safe place, well, we know then that the school is going to take advantage of it and become the new parent. I still don't have an answer for the story I raised the other day, also in the commentary, about a teacher who took leave of classes on one day, claiming to be sick, but was not really sick, took a student to an abortion clinic to get an abortion. The name of the child being withheld, for obvious reasons. Never have heard the teacher's name or gender. And I still have the question, did that teacher impregnate that student and then went to the abortion clinic to get rid of the evidence that they had had improper sex with the student? Still no answer on that. Because they like to hide things. Now, the Biden White House continues to claim all the things you see Biden doing, stumbling, misstepping, going the wrong direction, what you see with your own eyes, you don't really see. In fact, the White House will tell you what you saw.
I think you're right. I think there is so much misinformation, disinformation, as we've been talking about. You talked about the video of the president wandering, and it's not true, right? The president wasn't wandering. He was talking to a parachuter that was right in front of him. And what you saw is the Republican Party really manipulating what was being said and what was being seen by the American people. It's also very insulting to the folks who are the viewers who are watching it. And so we believe we have to call that out. We've been calling it cheap fakes. That is something that came from directly from the media outlets and calling it that, the fact checkers and calling it that. And so we're certainly going to be really, really clear about that as well.
Karine Jean-Pierre saying again, we will tell you what you're seeing. This is the video clip, of course, that showed members of the G7 standing together as paratroopers are landing. And one of them lands right within feet, in front of them, truly in front of them, and then beginning to pull up his chute and everything and pack it away. And they're all applauding. Biden, just in a robotic move, turns to his left and starts walking away. So the paratrooper was right in front of him, but she said he was talking to a paratrooper who was in front of him. Well, there was one right in front of him. He saw another one, and he starts over there. I'm sure there was another paratrooper. It does not mean he was going over to speak to him. He just zoned out. And they weren't supposed to leave that area at that time. And the Italian prime minister, I believe, or secretary of state, reached out and grabbed him and turned him back. Then they all huddled around him to pose for a picture. No, we saw that. Same thing with the Obama-Biden appearance in Hollywood. They stand up. The meeting is over. I mean, the event is over. Biden's kind of waving and nodding to people, and then he just drops his arms by his side, not moving. Obama to his left is still gesturing to everyone, and the curtain's getting ready to come down, and he realizes Joe is stuck. So Obama takes his right hand, places it up on the left wrist of Joe Biden like he would a child and pulls him toward him and turns him and then puts his right hand over Joe Biden's shoulders so they walk out like two great guys going out for a beer. Again, that was fake. But they want to claim you didn't see what I just described to you. There are a lot of Democrats being fed up at so many levels, and part of it, again, has to come down to illegal immigration and the lies from this Biden White House. New York Governor Hochul's favorability and job approval ratings are at the lowest ever, according to a new Siena poll. Her approval rating sits at 44%. 50% disapprove of how she's performed as governor. Of course, she's got so many blue people in that blue city, estate, I should say, that they're going to end up probably keeping her in office. And the college, the same survey, found that Biden's lowest ever favorability in the Empire State, 42%. But he does continue to lead Donald Trump in New York by single digits. Biden maintains support of three-quarters of Democrats in New York. No surprise there. Trump has 85% of the Republican support. Again, no surprise. This debate coming up June 27th is going to be very, very interesting. And again, we will be carrying that debate for you. As soon as my program wraps that night, we'll be switching to CNN for them to do the debate. And we are holding a debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge. So you can certainly come out and join us there. That'll be a lot of fun, I believe. I truly do. I need to let you know in closing that the word has come out officially that we lost an Emmy Award winning actor at age 88. His son posted a statement on Instagram, with heavy heart, I tell you that my father has passed away. This actor had earned 2 Golden Globes, a Critics' Choice Award, known for portraying unique characters in dozens of film and television roles. Canadian actor, began his film career in The Dirty Dozen, and then Kelly's Heroes, and then became known for roles in Animal House, Backdraft, 6 Degrees of Separation, Pride and Prejudice, and then also one of the stars of The Hunger Games. Have you figured out yet who it is? Well, he also appeared in a program that is often associated with me. What? Larry, you were an actor? No. No, I might act like I'm smart, but that's the extent of my acting ability, and obviously that fails. But it was a close to a TV newscast that I had for years. If I had practiced and tried to come up with something like this, it would never have worked. So here it comes, for those of you who always ask me, and I say, I can't do it anymore, it doesn't work that way. Coming up next, MASH. Yeah, you're right. That's not the MASH theme. That's our ending theme. The actor appeared in MASH, Donald Sutherland, most accomplished actor. As always, I appreciate you listening. Let others know. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.